Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Happy New Year and happy new beginnings.
Amen.
Whoo, happy new beginnings. I know that's a word for somebody I talked to pre-service. I don't know about y'all, but I love a new day. And I'm so thankful that you even brought that up. I love a new day, a new week, a new month, and a new year. How about y'all?
Come on.
I don't know. I just
all
feel
three
like
of you like that? Come on.
I just feel like it's a fresh start. Yes. Something new. And it can happen every day. You know, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning, right? So you can have a new moment right there. I just feel like it's an opportunity for some firsts this year. And I shared in Circle Up this morning, but God's been laying on my heart heavily lately that if you give God the first of something, whatever it is, he's going to take care of the rest, right?
Yeah, amen.
If we give him the first of our year in a fast that we're going to start as a church tomorrow, if we give God the first of our relationship, God, family, career, in that order it works. Out of that order, it does not work. If we give God the first of our finances, if we give God the first of our morning. The last 2 years, I've been doing the Bible in a year, and I started a new morning routine where God gets the first of my morning. Before I open up, well, I read my Bible on my phone, so I don't want to say after I open up my, before I open my phone, but before I open social media, before I read my text, before I check into email, I'm giving God my first. And I can assure you that my life has looked drastically different because of that. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits, with every increase that comes to you, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. Now, I know it's talking about finances right there and honoring him with our first fruits, but all those things that I talked about are still your first fruits.
Yeah. Come on.
Your first fruit of your day, your first fruit of the year, all of that matters.
We're here on Vision Sunday, and Proverbs 29:18 says, in the King James, where there is no vision, the people perish. The NIV translation says this, where there is no clear vision or revelation for your life, people will cast off restraint. It's a totally different way of wording it there. But in other words, if you don't have a clear vision for your life, then you'll think it doesn't really matter how you live. Come on, that one needs to sink in. If you don't have a clear vision for your life, you're going to live the way that you want to live. And sometimes that's not the way God designed us. It does matter how you live. And for some of us here today, we need a reminder that God has a good plan for our lives.
Yeah.
So many times that song says, remember, remember, remember. So many times, you know, the enemy wants to leave you in remembrance mode and all the bad stuff. But there's a lot of times you need to remember how good God's been to you.
Yeah.
Come on, he's pulled you out of that fire. He's pulled you out. When you were about to go under, he was right there for you. So those are the times you have to remember. Mm-hmm. The only plan it has for his that will bring you full fulfillment is remember the four things importance of your spiritual journey are this. To know God. If you look at our website, you'll see. Know God. That's to be in a relationship with God. It's not having head knowledge.
Come on.
It's about having heart knowledge. Finding freedom to settle the things in your past, the things that you've been carrying around. Some of us have been carrying around stuff around way too long. God says, I've tried to detach you from that. I've tried to pull you away from that, yet you keep bringing it back up. God wants full freedom for your life this morning. And he wants us to discover our purpose. You're not here on accident. You're not sitting in these padded, I start to say church pews. We ain't in no pews. But you're not here on accident. You have a purpose. You need to go through the culture class and find that purpose and find out your spiritual gifts. And then what we do, he doesn't save us. He doesn't let us get all this knowledge just to sit around and not do anything. He wants us to make a difference in the world around us. Do something with your life that makes an eternal difference. And all these things on the first and most important vision is to know God. What does that even mean? Does it mean to know God? And you know, I will be honest with you. I knew God for a lot of years just because of religion. I knew God just because of what I was taught. I knew God because of what my mom and dad told me who God was. Until I figured out there's a real, true relationship with the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, that's when things changed. Hey, I can actually talk to you like I'm talking to a friend because that's what the Bible says. The first step is all important to get a real relationship, and God empowers the rest of the steps. If you get that one right, if you get number one right, the rest of them will kind of fall into place. You'll discover your purpose. You'll find freedom. You'll know the things that God has for you in your life. Also, it's the first and most important function of the church. Who is the church? Is it our city, the name out there, or are the people sitting here living and breathing with a heartbeat right now? We are the church. And we as a church family need to do everything we can through serving, through praying, through loving, through giving, and helping people everywhere to know God. And let's, you know, listen, one of the things we start out with is let's reach people that are far from God with the truth that Jesus came for them. Come on. He came for them. No matter what background, no matter what they've been through, he came just for them. And we are compelled as true believers to let the whole world know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot come to the Father but through Jesus. We started out this whole ministry some 16 years ago. And we started out with the premise of the word real. R-E-A-L. And if you've been with us enough, you know that we're pretty real, we're pretty raw, we're pretty open, sometimes to a fault. But we started out because we really wanted to affect people who were like us. Who were we? We were divorced, we were broken, we were messed up, and we wanted a whole group of people to come to our church. Most churches don't want that kind of people. We want the ones that need to be cleaned up. And the Holy Spirit is the one that cleans them up. But that's how we started. We wanted to be real. We wanted to know people that no matter how much you've messed up in life, no matter what you've been through in life, man, you got a loving God that's really, he's here to pull you back in.
You know, as we were praying with Cade Friday night, sorry I'm throwing this in, but I think that this goes with that point. He was exhausted. They've been sick, and I prayed, and then I said, are you going to pray? And he said, no, God's mad at me. And I said, no, God's not mad at you. He is madly in love with you. And he said, I texted Jesus, and he texts me back that he's mad. And I said, honey, then you didn't text Jesus because he's not mad at you. And I just think that that is something that we all can get into a mindset where, oh, I just can't get it right. And God's mad at me. Jesus is mad at me. And I believe that that is a lie the enemy tells us to throw us off track.
That's right.
This year, more than ever, we have got to shut down the lies of the enemy and know that he is madly in love with us. He has his best for us. We just have to tap into what he's saying. Sorry.
That was good. No, I forgot about that. That was good. I texted Jesus and he said that. I love, she said that afterwards. She said, you didn't text the right person then. But they are, you know, we can talk about being recommitted. You know, we've seen an influx in this year of new people coming into the church, and some are fairly new to church. Some of them have not been in church their whole life, and some have been in church like me. I grew up under the church pew, and it really was a pew at that time. But we also have a faithful core of people, and I want to thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts that have been through the good times, the rough times, through thick and through thin, You've been there for us, and we thank you for that. We can't thank you enough for that. It means so much to us that you trust us, and you trust that sometimes we do make mistakes. Sometimes we do say wrong things. Sometimes I get corrected often because I'm married, but we thank you that, God, you guys trust us as your shepherds, and you've really shown that to us, and we want to just thank you for that. This year, I believe, I got to get to my next note. I'm crying now. I can't see. This year, I believe that we need to be more committed or even recommit ourselves to God. Sometimes we need to ask the hard questions. What are we committed to? Come on. I think that's all questions that we can all ask ourselves starting out this new year. What are we really committed to? Are we committed to God? And even what does that even look like? And who am I committed to? Some people, I just thought about this. Some of you all have been holding on to some relationships. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That God is trying to tell you to let go of that relationship. And you form such a commitment to them. I'm just now getting this. It ain't in my notes, is it, hey? Is it, babe? He wants you to let go of that relationship. He says that relationship is toxic. It's causing you grief. It's causing you to go the wrong way instead of the right way. And I'm telling you, he said, who am I committed to? God just showed me that. You need to let go and let God. Truth is, the relationship with God has to be our priority in the next coming year, not just to start out the year, but to really be a priority out throughout the year.
Yeah. And, you know, as you were saying that, I don't want you to think it's just the person you're romantically involved with.
Amen.
It could be friends in your circle. It could be coworkers. Not that you can completely disconnect, but you could choose how much time you spend with them. I believe, and this is proven, that you become like the five people you hang out with the most. So who are you hanging out with? Are you hanging out with people that speak life, or are they constantly negative? Are you hanging around people that are real, or are they fake? Are you hanging out? Help me. What are some, like...
It ain't in my notes. I don't know.
Well, I just feel that this year, we all have to have clear vision, not just for the church, which we'll get to, but clear vision for our own personal lives.
And again, it is like the people you're around and the things, the circumstances or situations that you put yourself in every day. You wonder why at the end of the day you're worn out. You wonder why at the end of the day you don't know which way is up. It's because you've surrounded yourself with negative atmospheres. So God, it ain't just the people, it's the atmosphere sometimes you put yourself in too. So let's change that this year.
So
I'm going to hang out with her more.
Aww.
I am. She's good. She kicks my butt every once in a while, but I need it.
So the R stands for recommit, and E in real stands for effective. Is it working?
Come on, listen.
Is it working? Is what you're doing in your life working? Is what we're doing at the church working? Is it working? And are you even taking the time to evaluate? A lot of times we just go, okay, I'll just keep going and doing the things that I know to do, that I want to do, instead of looking at it deeply. And as we learned during the Change sermon series, back when we changed the name from Big Church to Our City Church, change is hard. Say it with me. Change is hard. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen. So just always be on the edge of change coming. In your life, in church, at your jobs, change is inevitable.
How many of us have problems with that, with change? You like things the way you like them? Me too. Look at all those hands. You're going to be disappointed sometime because change happens all the time. And with God, he's always... He never wants us to stay stale or what's the word I'm trying? Stagnant, that's a good word. He always is looking
apathetic.
For something. And if you're around this woman here, you cannot stand still or you can't be still because she changes everything. But that's a good thing.
We do have to remember point three in that series was God always has purpose for change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He always has purpose for change. But the thing that we can hang our hat on is God does not change. Everything else around us can change, but he doesn't. I want to remind you of the scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. It says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small. They're itty bitty. And they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles as we see them now. Right. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Paul, right here, is revealing his confidence, not in what is going on around him or what he thinks he can do, but his confidence in God and God's ability to sustain him even though he's suffering, even in the change. And we see Paul having a hope for the future, right? My question to each of us is, are we shifting? Are we evaluating? Or are we like the Egyptians going around the same, Israelites going around the same mountain, the same mountain, the same mountain? And I'll tell you, in my devotional with Jessica in this new year, one of the things that God highlighted to me is I saw some patterns. And it wasn't just one part of my life. It was another part of my life and another part of my life. Hello, thank you, Jesus. Now I can do something about it, right?
Come on, that's right.
And I think that if we don't take the time to evaluate and then make the shift, we're going to end up being in that same place. As a church last year, hey, last Vision Sunday, the vision was clear. But we, as pastors and the staff, we didn't keep the vision in front of us. We did okay. But this year we're going to do better.
Amen.
Because one change we're going to make is you read that make it plain, make it clear, write it on tablets. It will be, the plan will be on the wall in the staff and cultured room. So if you ever are like, okay, I forget the vision, hop back there. We're in this together. But before we move on to A, I want to ask you, what change do you feel like you need to make in your own life this year? Write it down. Make it plain. And the other question I want to follow up with is, what will you implement that helps you evaluate the vision to make happen? A in real stands for alignment. One thing I'm very proud of our church for is every belief statement, every core value is backed by the Word of God. It isn't just catchy, cute sayings, but it is founded and grounded on the Word. This year, as you're dreaming about what your year wants, what you want your year to look like, my prayer is that you go find you a scripture. And that's because when you're grounded in the Word, it does not return void. But what happens is we get these ideas of what success will look like, or, oh, if I do this, I'll get there. And without that scripture to ground you, you're not going to be in alignment with what God has. As Pastor V says all the time, alignment for the assignment. Yes. You've got to have alignment for the assignment.
Because then that keeps us grounded. And you guys, how many of you have known that God is faithful? Every time. I'm confident that if I align my vision to his vision, it will happen. Now, I have to do my part. I have to be the one that implements. So get you some scriptures this year that will ground you. When the enemy gets into your head and wants you to believe the lies, when life be lifin', 2025, life be lifin' to Pastor Rich and I. He had a major illness. I went through something that I didn't know what the heck was going on. And it's easy to agree when life be lifin'. So you got to get a scripture that you're grounded on. Maybe you get a bad report. You got to have a scripture to hang on to. And sometimes when you just get weary.
Come on, listen to that one.
When you just get tired. God, I have been serving you. And I've been doing. And I've been obeying your word. And when you tell me something. But at the end of the day, when you don't hear God, when you want to hear him, he's always on time, but when we don't hear him, when we want to hear him, we can get tired. Alignment for the assignment.
And that's so big. When you get tired, you get vulnerable. Come on, think about the end of the day or think about the end of the week. You get so worn out in your mind, and that's when the enemy comes in and plays those little reels in your head, right? He hits rewind. Oh, listen to this and think about that and what's going on. So I'm going to encourage you this year that naps are from the Lord.
He's going to convince us.
I am going to convince you that naps are from the Lord. But I'm saying that not jokingly. Take some time to rest this year.
Yeah, that's good.
Take some time to say, okay, God, I'm going to decompress. I'm going to pull. Listen, we were sitting on the beach on Christmas Day. Praise God. 75 degrees and sunny. But also God was like, you know what? I've given you this time to rest. To just rest and do. I need to preach that to someone out here right now. You don't got to go 120 miles an hour everything that you do. Take some time in the mornings. Take some time in the evenings. Take a weekend and just relax and chill. And you're going to find out, man, I'm telling you, how many live fast? Anybody live fast? Let's dial it back just a little bit and say, okay, God, I'm going to slow it up a little bit. I'm going to take time to rest in you. Go on, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm the next one. L means lasting. It can't be something we do. I was teasing somebody. I said, hey, most of the New Year's resolutions by the 1st of February, people have already, their gym commitments are done. They were eating okay, but now they're eating McDonald's again. But I mean, most of the times, what I want to see is with the vision and with our life, all these things is see something that lasts. Philippians 1:6 says this, be confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He started something in you, and he's looking for us to fit. He's going to finish it. Our faith is finished in Christ, but he's looking for us to take that next step to make it a lasting change. Mm-hmm. We can't change it for a week. She's told me this before in our marriage, 16 years. She said, you change it for a week, you change it for 2 weeks, you change it for 3 weeks, but I don't see it lasting. And it's so right. So many times as husbands, we do that, don't we? We do what she wants to do for a week or two, and then it's like, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do. But until I have figured out and finally figured out, I got to get her to the beach more often, and I've got to do the things that she needs for me, not just on the first of the year. I've got to start doing that. And that's hard. Come on. Come on, guys. We're stuck in our ways, Dylan.
Change is hard.
Brooke's over going, I'm about to elbow him right in the head. But lasting, let's do some things this year that last. Because he's faithful. Because he is faithful, we need to be faithful. Yes. If we start it, let's complete it.
That's good.
I'm starting a fast tomorrow. I am going to complete that fast. And then I am going to go try to live a fasted lifestyle the rest of the year. Because it's not just for 21 days. It's not a January thing. It's a thing that God wants us to do. And we're going to talk about fasting, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, about what the impact it is. And what it ain't just, anyway, I'm going to shut up. You're next.
I know that this Sunday looks a little bit different. Vision Sunday always looks a little bit different. But we always like to explain to you the why behind the what. So why Vision Sunday? Well, first of all, you need to be thankful. It's important to be thankful for what God has done. Yes. If you're never grateful, if you're never thanking Him, if you're never testifying of all the good things God does, why would He want to give you more?
Come on.
Yeah. He will. But think about your own life. Do you want to keep giving when people are not even grateful? So we want to take some time to be thankful for what God did accomplish here this past year. But it's so important that we know where we're going and what we need to focus on. So let's talk about what was accomplished in 2025.
We had our first baptism at the creek.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
Praise God. I promise you, I will not be in the hospital when that happens again this year, because we're probably going to do it again. But what an impact that had. We baptized 58 people this year, which is about a 20% increase of what we did last year.
23.4,
okay.
To be exact.
I saw the 3.4. I just wanted to, anyway. So we want to see that number skyrocket. We want to see God do something, you know, baptizing 150, 200 people this year. And, you know, I believe that's going to happen. We just have to keep it in front of our face, in front of His face. I'm going to put it this way. And listen, we gave over $11,000 to outreach from our church, from our city store, through benevolence. And I think that's what shows that we're loving Louisville back to life. If you give, listen, I've said this to many people, you can, and it's all cliche, but you can never outgive God.
That's true.
And when He gives you something and you're faithful to give it back, He has showed us that this year like crazy. He's good. Thank you, Jimmy.
66 people went through culture this year, which is a 13.8% increase. Culture, it is next week. And I want to invite you to come. They did such a beautiful job explaining it, but it's where you're going to find your purpose. It's where you can get connected. I remember Cameron Getz, Maitland said, we are going through culture. Cameron said, peace, I'm not. He goes out the door in the car, and I go through the culture door and chase him down.
You coming back,
and
boy.
I was like, come on. And here's the beautiful thing. Cam was a little shy, not one to go up and talk to people and just kind of,
not like Maitland.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I saw after he went through cultured and connected on a team,
Amen,
was the way that he began to connect with other people. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. He is the first to go up to people now. Being in community so matters. And then they're leading a crew right now. I mean, God changes us when we say yes.
He was baptized in the creek.
He was baptized in the creek. So good.
Dang it, I missed it. I'm going to say this one right, because I did fail math. She had 13.8 and 23.3. We saw a 15% increase, there's no other word, no numbers, in attendance this year in our city kids. Our city kids is growing, y'all. And they opened up our Christmas service. It was so good. And, you know, what I love about Pastor Monica and the team is, you know, they're not just babysitting our kids. They're teaching our kids. We
yes.
have kids that are wanting to come. They're on their parents. I want to come to church on Sunday. Come on, when your kids are hungry for God, that makes all the difference in the world. So I want to applaud her and her team for just what they, come on.
And the parents.
And
because
the parents.
We are better together. And what we see down here is a village. It's a village. Parents and Pastor Monica and her team working together where these kids are hungry.
Amen.
We could learn a thing or two from them.
If they act up, can we give them a whooping? You remember that? Y'all don't remember the old days. My mom and dad gave permission to anybody that wanted to whip us. It was okay.
I'm probably kidding.
I needed every one that I got. And City Youth has been, God's doing amazing things with our youth right now. And we just want to see it grow and grow and grow. And I know we started a youth room back here. And many of you are like, what's going on with the youth room? Well, it's been red tape after blue tape after every other tape you can think. But we finally got the lease approved.
Yes.
Come on. We got this space back here. We've already done some work to it. By April 1st, this room is going to be complete. It's going to be done. And we've raised over $10,000 to do that. You all have done that. You got a little bit more to go, but hey, you've done it. So you're going to start seeing by April 1st, this room's going to be complete. The youth are going to have their own space back here. And we're just so grateful. You know, parents, get your kids at church. I know they don't want to come to church when they're a freshman or a sophomore or a junior, but get them to church. I remember growing up, there was no option. You better be in the car at 9:30 because we are leaving to go to church at 9:30. And I'm not going to lie. There was times when I really didn't want to go to church. There were really times I grumbled all the way to church. But I can tell you what it did for me as a kid. Something lasting and something real happened to me as when I was a kid. And I had a drug problem. They drug me to church every Sunday. And so I think a lot of times, don't hesitate to bring your kids out and get them involved with the middle. Get them involved with youth. And I think that God's going to do something really big this year.
Amen. Every social media platform grew this year.
Woo-woo! Good job, Amy.
We saw 199% growth of YouTube views. I know. Y'all are like, 450% growth on link clicks on Facebook. 100% increase in content interactions on Instagram. And I believe it's because Pastor Amy has been so intentional of training her team, has been intentional on learning how to grow it. And you're just so excellence driven. And I appreciate that. The other thing that I think is a big change in this is she has been putting out their intentional content. Not just, hey, here's our church. Hey, let come to church. But things that really speak into our lives through the week of what we need to hear, read. Now, that's astounding growth, you guys. Astounding growth. But you can be a part of making it grow again this year. You want to know how? Like, comment, share. Like, comment, and share.
Say that together. Like, comment, and share.
It's so important. And of course, tag. Like, if tag the church on your own post. It's so important.
You notice all of those, I didn't pass math in school, but how did we have 150% growth when 100% is 100%? She tells me that anyway. All the time. Give me 110%. I'm like, no, we can't get more than 100%, right? How do we do that? I didn't pass that part of it anyway. I'm going on.
Miss Mack, talk to Pastor Rich afterwards.
I need to go back to grade school. But our average attendance for this year was 199 people. Come on, can we break that 200 mark this year? I really believe that we can break that mark. And it's not really all about, you know, the numbers and the seats. It's hosting God's presence. And I think that when people start seeing what God is doing, when they start feeling what God is doing, you know, the attendance is going to go up. And, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, recommitting also. You know, let's recommit ourselves to being in the house. I know the holidays are up and a lot of people are still out of town, but let's make the house of the Lord a commitment. Let's get in. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I am about to get ahead of myself. Go ahead. You go to the next one. Am I next?
We have a 39%.
That was our only flaw right there, y'all. Sorry.
I didn't like put his name in these. Yeah. We have 39% of our church involved in a crew.
That's good for.
That's huge. That is really huge. Most churches have about 10 to 15% that get involved in a crew or a small group. We're shooting for 50%. This year, it's so important that you get connected.
And with church attendance, too. I mean, 199, why not shoot for 250, 300, you know, as an average? You got to have a number to shoot for. Again, we said it's not about numbers, but if you don't have nothing to shoot for, you're just shooting for whatever. So we're going to go for 300 this year. How about it? Praise God.
And here's the beautiful thing. If you're like, oh, numbers, I don't like numbers. Numbers are impact for the kingdom of God. So if you understand, if we have 199 versus 300 or whatever number you said, then that's 300 more people that can go deeper. Mm-hmm. 300 more people that are going to share the gospel with other people. So anyway, where are we going in 2025?
Tell me. Tell us.
Six. Sorry.
We both missed that.
Yeah, we both missed it.
We're not going back to 2025, y'all.
A few years ago, we really felt the urge from the Holy Spirit to do inReach and really build the core and relationships of our own people. And this year, one of the things that I say in Cultured all the time is the church is built by intentional relationships. As you connect, you're strengthening the church. And life happens to all of us. We get sick, we have stress, we have family drama, we're having job situations and spiritual warfare. And it is nearly impossible to do life alone. We can't do life alone. We have to do life together. We truly are better together. And do you know that depression and loneliness and despair is at an all-time high? Just below during the pandemic. That's why the local church is the hope of the world. In 2026, our number one focus is going to be on building community. I loved what Carly Whalen shared on Facebook this week. She shared our 2025 recap, and she wrote, "Really love this place and these people. If you're on the fence about church and aren't sure where to start, let me know, because I want to help you find a place you love too. Whether it be with us at our city church or somewhere else, life is too hard to do it alone." One of our core values is community is our heart. And we have some things already in place for community. We have crews, all kinds of crews. We also have serve teams where you can connect. But this year, we're going to provide more opportunities for you to come get connected. Now,
listen to this part.
You will have to do your part. You're going to have to attend the activities. You're going to have to say, "Oh, well, Teresa and Jason and Jeanette, we talk all the time, but I'm going to go over
and talk to someone I don't know."
I know everybody. But I'm going to go spend some time with some other people. Not to
discount,
push you aside, but let's meet some people that we don't know. Let's connect deeper with other people. And so the first activity
is we're going to get name tags, and we're going to do them for a month.
The first activity we will be hosting is a community night, okay? And the first one is on, I've got to look at the date because I don't want to misspeak, on Wednesday, January 21st at 6:30. And then every third Wednesday after that. I know our lives are busy, but going back to what we talked about at the beginning, seek first the kingdom. Seek first gathering and doing what the Bible says. So Acts 2:42 says, all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Say fellowship.
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Say it again. Fellowship.
Fellowship.
That's community. And to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Well, we have community prayer coming up this week.
Yep. Oh, first Wednesday of every month.
Amen.
Fellowship and sharing in meals and to prayer. Okay? And then the third Wednesday, we're going to do community night, and there will be food involved. More details to come next week.
If you feed them, they will come.
But my heart is for people not just to come to church. Pastor Vonda used to do that. She would slip in during the first song, and she'd slip out in the last song. And some of you may just come to church on Sunday and not really do a lot else outside of the things that we do. And that's great, and we're glad you're here. But your lives will be so much more enriched if you come and get connected. So one of the things that I'm praying is that people will invite people to their homes. And that they will build community with other people. I hosted a reflection dream night on a whim. God gave me an idea on the beach. That's where he speaks to me the best. And I just invited some women over to try this God idea. And I was blown away. And so this year, if you're crafty, host a girly or guy. I mean, I don't know if, I just am thinking about him. He's not crafty. But host a craft night. Invite people that you do know and people maybe you don't know. If you know how to build, the Bible is clear that we're to train up the next generation. And not everybody knows how. And invite some guys over that might be interested.
I hand tools very well.
Listen, that might be interested to learn. He's not interested, so that's okay.
Listen, my idea of going to hell is opening the door and the devil saying, you're going to put stuff from IKEA together for the rest of your eternity. So no, I do not like putting stuff together, so we're good. To piggyback off that, said that wrong. I mean, people have asked us all the time, do you not have a midweek service? I grew up in church where we went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night prayer, Wednesday night, Friday night youth. I was in church 5 or 6 days a week. Listen, the first Wednesday night we have prayer, you're going to get blessed by coming to Wednesday night prayer. This third one, we don't really know 100% what it looks like, but it's going to be a community gathering thing. So if you're sitting home alone.
With food.
If you're sitting home alone, you have no. What the word I'm coming up with here? No excuse to not come out and participate in what we do. Because you might meet someone that you really, really like. You might get your wife. You might get your husband.
I know some people are saying, yes, Lord.
Pull him out, Jesus.
Maybe if you love to cook, Kevin, you host a cooking night. People love to learn new recipes.
Can I tell you, Kevin is an awesome cook. He cooks for us, at least once a three or four times a month. I mean, he makes some good Mediterranean chicken. It's so good. Amen, Jesus.
Shout out to Kevin. He'll be cooking all the time. I look at the life of Jesus, and he was the best at discipling the 12 in his circle. Because he didn't just gather them to teach them the gospel. He lived with them. He did life with them. They sat around campfires. He taught the men how to fish for real fish and then taught them how to fish for men. They did ministry together, and nobody got offended. None of the disciples ever got offended when Jesus would say, hey, the reason that one didn't come out, because you weren't praying and fasting. Nobody was like, oh, well, I can't do anything there anymore. I mean, Peter did not get mad when, Jesus did not get mad, and Peter didn't get mad either when Jesus was washing everybody's feet. And Peter said, you're not washing my feet. Like, no, Jesus, you're too good to wash my feet. And he said, if I can't wash your feet, you're not one of me. Like, I love to study Jesus's life, because, especially with his disciples, because he taught them how to do life. Ministry is seeing a need and filling it. And I just think that anything that we do, cross-stitch, getting together to cross-stitch together. I don't do that anymore, but don't have time for that. But if I did that, and I had people gathered, and I keep the main thing, Jesus is going to be glorified. Yeah. Go to lunch. We were going to do foot washing last week, and everybody was like, I said, you're Peter. I don't have my toes done, da-da-da, all this stuff. And but somebody said that would be a good community night. Let's go get our toes done together so we can wash each other's feet. But that's what I'm saying. We don't need to be doing life alone. Don't do life alone. You're going to the grocery. Go with him. He loves the grocery. He loves Kroger.
Hey, can I tell y'all a funny story? We got time. It's not too bad. I grew up in a church where they did feet washing. Anybody ever grow up in a church where they, good. Then I'm glad I'm not the only one. That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. But it was a model of what how Jesus did. And I watched those grown men growing up as a child, watched them wash each other's feet. And I thought it was disgusting and what are they doing? But it just modeled the thing that Jesus did. And Jesus didn't, he didn't tell us to do something, he did it.
Right.
He showed us how to do it. So we're having our first annual feet wash. So you better get your toenails done. I'm kidding, go on. Our second focus is on outreach. And I'm not talking, you know, we really amped it up this year during the last 6 months of this year, you know. But what we want to do is I don't want to wait till the last 3 or 4 months to say, hey, we need to gather this or do this. I want it to be all throughout the year. So we're going to really try to do outreach every month of the year, try to make it look like, make it feel like we're doing it January, February, March, April, May, June, July. And not just to give groceries out, but also to reach out into a community, you know, by going to events and doing some things to know that, man, there's a loving Jesus. There's a good church up the street. You know, it's not a perfect church with perfect pastors, but it's a good church that you can grow in. So we're really going to do that through everything. And our mission is to love Louisville to life. And I think we've done a pretty good job. I mean, but could you always do more? Absolutely. Yes. There's always more out there. Deep down, everyone wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves. You know, this generation growing up, they're tired of the same old stuff that's been going on. They want to be a part of something that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to what?
Receive.
So we're going to give more.
I want to share a story. Thank you all. I got all the letters from Lure Elementary, and I meant to bring them today, and I forgot them, but the sweetest little cards and pictures from the kids that we hosted or gave to this year, and I remember it was on a Wednesday, I believe. It was Pastor Jade and Ayanna and Alasia, and we're working back there sorting everything. And Ayanna and Alasia were like, if they need a coat, we're going to go get them a coat. And I was like, that's so beautiful. that their heart was, okay, not everything came in, but we're going to do this. And so they took the church card, and we as a church, like, your what you give matters. It makes a difference out in this community. And they did all the shopping, and Pastor Jay did all the organizing and the name tags, and we were able to make a difference. And this year, after that was over, I had thanked everybody, and Anna said, I'm hoping we get to do that more. It blessed me. It is better to give than receive.
We're just so thankful for what God did last year, but we're looking forward to what he's going to do this year, not just in our church, but in individual lives. I mean, I see growth in people that throughout this past year, I see them coming to a different level in their faith and just understanding the, you know, who Jesus, who God is. And they're going to be singing a song here in a minute talking about how grateful. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to have a church body, a church home, a church family that has stood beside us and behind us. And I think Pastor Marie is going to be preaching next week about, you know, just we're going to start a new series called Seasons. And she just went through a season, still going through a little bit of a season. But seasons in life come and they go, and you know, we're going to try to help you navigate through those times. And I don't know how long it's going to last. I mean, how many seasons? We could talk about seasons for the next year if we could. But has God been good to you this year? I'm asking you some questions. Let's all stand if we would, please. Has he been good to you this year? I think really sometimes we just said a minute ago, earlier, we need to remember more. We need to be, just put our minds on what God has done in our lives. When the enemy comes in and starts telling you everything that happened last year, you need to remind him, hey, I serve a God that's new every day. I serve a God that can change my situation with one prayer. So as I get ready to sing this song, I want us to be grateful. I want us to have that attitude of gratitude to say, God, you've been so good to me. And maybe you don't feel that. Maybe a part of you is going, this has been a kind of a down year. You know how you start something? You started out with being grateful. God, I know I didn't see it this year, but I believe that you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and you're going to do it again. Let's just be grateful.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.